I've been in a lot of meetings. And not too often I get in a meeting where I don't want to be. But I can't do nothing about that. But I do feel and believe that the Lord's trying to do something for us. And I see something on the horizon. And I mentioned earlier in the meeting that this year, 1998, is probably going to serve a different thing for us. And I want to encourage us that we're going to need to drive some stakes, some solid stakes. It's not just enough to say, I'm saved. We're going to be dealing with problems, no doubt, this year that we haven't dealt altogether with before, in the sense of the way the enemy is trying to discourage, yes, trying to cause you and I to leave the faith. And the battle is on, whether we believe it or not, it's on.
Yes, it is.
And we have no time to play church.
That's right.
No time for our feelings to be hurt.
So
we need to be under the blood now.
Amen.
Just in the matter of, I have to say, a few days, it seems like the little children is going out. I don't understand it altogether. Can't say I do. And the thought that I have this morning, I trust the Lord that it would help us to recognize some things about the way God works and what He's trying to do for us. That is a scripture that came to my mind in Hebrews 10th chapter, verse 36. And we want to elaborate on that just a little bit, a little while this morning if we can. And we need your prayers at what we say. Brother Haber was praying that it'll hit the mark. Folks, we are in a spiritual warfare. And we're going to have to get that kind of a mind to do the battle that we're going to have to deal with today and time. We have young people that are coming up under us, and somebody said that the young folks are watching us.
Yes.
And we got young folks that's coming up under us that, I have to put it this way, really don't know altogether what faith is.
True.
We have some young folks that are saved that really have not experienced what really faith is talking about. They're going to need some examples to where we are.
Yes.
They're going to need to have to look at something to be able to be encouraged.
Yes.
To say, Lord, I'm going to trust you whatever way this thing goes. The Hebrew writer says here, you have need of patience after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Now, I don't know how you look at that, and I don't know how you've interpreted that, but if you would bear with me just a little bit this morning, I'd like you to try to let some muse a little bit on the thought the way the Lord gave it to me. And you can see if you can use it that way or not. But it says to me here, after I have done the will of God. It don't mean me to get in my mind that things are going to work out like I think they're going to work out after I've done what God told me to do. It's no need for me to get in my mind that because I have done what God said do, it's going to work out like I want it to work out. And if it don't work out, I'm discouraged and I'm gone on my way. It said after, you need some patience now to wait on God, because He knows the way to handle situation far better than what we do. And many times we think because I've done the will of God and things don't work out, it said that you might receive the promise. It didn't say for sure that you would, but that you might receive the promise. Now, may God help you and I here this morning. Here's something that I want to get a hold of in my mind. Lord, it's very well that I can do the will of God, and I can do what you want me to do, and I can have a mindset that it's supposed to work out just according to this way, and it doesn't work that way. And the devil will come along and cause me to be discouraged. And I can go on down the line and say, well, God didn't hear me back there, and I don't know if you'll ever hear me again. Well, that's what the devil wants us to think. But you need some patience.
Yeah.
Now, I looked at the word patient, and before I looked at it, I thought I had a little bit. But after I began to study it, I realized that I need some more. Let me say here, here are some of the things that we come up with. Patience. The ability to wait. This don't indicate to me, because you are quiet and you don't say a whole lot, that you are a very patient person. That's no indication that you got patience because you don't say nothing. But on the inside, you can be steaming. Or you can be just anxious. But it says the ability to wait. Patience is a jewel. Patience is something that you don't get just off the top of your head. Patience is something that you don't get because you say, Lord, I often tell people, when you pray for patience, what are you praying for? Now let me reverse it in other words. Lord, send me some trouble. Huh? Do anybody pray like that here this morning? Lord, send me some tribulation. I don't think we do. Somebody said, you something got to be wrong with your head to pray, Lord, send me trouble. But no, we don't pray like that. But we said it in one word. Lord, I want some patience. So to get patience, we're going to have to go through the things that produce that jewel. We're going to have to crack the very nuts that have that seed inside to get it out. Come under pressure or provocation without discontent. Now that deal with that fellow that's quiet, doesn't it? We can become discontent about a lot of things. And patience is that long. The scripture says, you have need of patience after you have done the will of God. Now see, we get hung up right here. Lord, I've done your will. I've done everything, Lord, you have asked me to do. Now rain down fire and brimstone. You have need of patience.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus said somewhere in the scripture, he said, I didn't come to destroy men's lives. But it's my will that everyone will come to repentance.
Amen.
But the many times you and I may be done wrong, we want to burn them up. It's not all the time after we have prayed that we may get the answer right then.
That's right.
We have need of patience.
Yes.
I prayed and I fasted and I looked to the Lord, and he didn't answer me. He taken it a different route than what I thought he would take it. How can I trust God now? That's what the devil is, isn't it? The devil will love to get us to look at all the enough time that my prayers wasn't answered. And had they would have been answered on the time when I thought they would have been answered, I would have been doing better and farther up the line today. But because they wasn't answered, because I looked to the Lord and He didn't come to my rescue, now I don't know what to think. Then the scripture comes back where the devil asked somebody in the scripture, said, "Where is your God?" You see? "Where is your God?" He's still where He always been. And He still looks down upon our situation.
Yes.
"Believest thou this?" "Yea, Lord." But He told us, you have need of patience. You need to get you some patience to be able to wait until I answer you. Amen. "But Lord, I'm living for you. I got saved for you." You did? Why did you get saved? Did we get saved for God? No, I don't think we did. God's already saved. Huh? I got saved for God. If you need some people in heaven to talk to, He's going to have that. Amen. God did us a big favor of getting us out of sin and saving our soul.
Yes, He did.
Keep us from being destroyed.
Yes.
Now He comes along, He says, "All right, get you some patience to be able to wait on me." The hardest thing for man to do is to wait. Somebody get the Psalm 144. Let's read a verse or two of Scripture to you. A verse of this Psalm. "Oh, be still thy soul and mind." You ever heard that before? You ever been in a place where it looks like the bottom falling out of everything, and the Lord looks back upon the thing and He says, "Be still. Oh, be still." Read it for us, please.
"Thou art not forsaken."
Thou art not forsaken. Can we believe this? Oh, be still. We got to get in a quiet place to find out what God is really talking about here. And some of those quiet places is when the troubles and the tribulation is just all around us. And He brings us to that place where our back, so to speak, is against the wall. And He tried to whisper. We're living in a busy age. We're living in a fast age. I call it a microwave age. You push a button, the 2 minutes flat, it's smoking. Can't see what caused it to smoke. But I can understand what they say caused it to smoke. But it's smoking after 2 minutes, and now they got a bell on the thing. Beep! It lets you know it's ready. And we're like that in our dealings, in our doing. We're in a microwave age. It has to come right now. I want help right now. I can't seem to pray all night long. It's too long for me to sit up and pray all night long and wait. I've been waiting for a week and a half. I've been waiting for 6 months, and nothing has happened yet. You have need of patience. After. Do you know a minister? Oh, Lord, help us here. You know, even in preaching the gospel, you're dealing with a congregation. And you preach the gospel, look like everybody won't need to measure to the word right now. You got need of patience. You can preach the gospel and folks can sit on a seat, and 6 months after you've been preaching, somebody jump up and say, "Hey, I got it." And the one sitting right next to him and sitting there for 6 months, they ain't got it yet. So now here's another 6 months. And the minute you decide, well, ain't no need of me being here, these folks ain't getting nothing, somebody come get saved. Right when you're about to quit. I don't understand it all. What keeps us going? What keeps us waiting? What keeps us looking to God? You have need of patience. After you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise.
Amen.
Patience is a rare jewel, I'll say again. Now, not anxious, it says. Power, heard about that in this meeting, haven't we? Power to endure difficulties, pain, or trials without complaint.
My Lord, help me this morning.
Without complaint? Power? Is power in this? To endure difficulties? You know, sometimes the scripture says something about a man can sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? We can probably go through many sicknesses or whatever we have to some point, but we can't deal with discouragements or difficulties, letdowns or disappointments. Seems like that's hard to deal with without complaint. Patience. Oh, be still, thy soul and mind. Thou art not forsaken. Though the power of sin may rage, thou shalt be unshaken. He who gave his life for thee.
Read on that.
Thus, it said, he permit.
That's right.
Huh? He permits us to be in difficult places. I was reading in the Streams in the Desert one day, and the thought was that the writer brought out, it says, I have some sweet things to whisper to your ears today. Huh? And it says in there, it said something about, it's only about five words, it said, this is from me. All right now. He said on down, he said, are you in money difficulties? I said, yes, Lord. Huh? Are you in trying circumstances? Yes, Lord. And on down he said, this is from me. Are you having problems with your companions and your circumstances around you? He said, yes, Lord. This is from me. I will permit men to ride over your head. This is for me.
Yes.
Can we be still under the difficult circumstances of life that we have today? Can I sit still and wait on God and said, let thy will be done? Patience is a real jewel.
Yes.
And many people think they have patience. Need to check again. We need to check again. Check our bags and see what we really have. We need patience in working with our children. They can aggravate you so? Oh, God, have mercy. Do I have to sit still and bother with this aggravation like this? And look like they don't understand nothing. You try to tell them. You try to work with them. You pray with them. You counsel them. And they still go back and do the same thing again. And the minute they get into trouble, it's no need of saying, boy, don't you call me when you get in trouble, because I'm not coming. We need to be careful.
Yes.
Because sooner they get in trouble, who they see? Dad! Dad, they got me here for the wrong purpose. They got you for the wrong purpose. I didn't do it, Dad. Son, I've told you over and over again. I'm tired of going through this thing with you over and over again. It seems like they don't get it. Oh, God, help us. Be still. Thy soul and mind. God said in one place over the scriptures, he said, you, talking to Israel, said, you've tempted me these 10 times. I said, Lord, have mercy. What time am I on? You've tempted me these 10 times. Then there's a place that God dealt with Moses. Moses kept coming to the Lord. He said, see that you don't come back to me with this matter no more. And when God tells you something like that, it's over, isn't it? Don't come back anymore with that. But not forsaken. Patience is a rare jewel. I'll say again. And many times we think we have patience. Many times we think we have enough on hand. But we find ourselves complaining and murmuring about the very thing that God said, this is for me.
Yeah.
Read.
Those powers of sin may rage.
Yes.
Thou shalt be unshaken.
All right.
He who gave his life for thee.
He who gave his life for thee.
Thus permits that thou shouldst be.
Thus permit that thou should be.
For thy good as thou
shalt be. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Why is you letting it happen to me, Lord? For your good, child. For your own good. There are things about yourself you don't even realize. There are some things about yourself you don't even know. And you think you're all right. There are some dross about you that's got to be burned up. There are some things in your life, if I let stay there, will hinder your spiritual walk with God. I have to burn those things up. Burn them up, see? Because when you are persecuted, when you are disappointed, when you are let down, when the battle is hot, I want you to be able to stand right in the line and I can say, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered him? None like him? In all the earth. How do you like that? How do you like God testify you like that? It's nothing like him in all the earth. Paul said in one place, I commend myself to every man conscience.
Yes.
Patient. Could you allow your wife to stand up and testify for you for 20 minutes? And tell us it. Tell the truth, honey. What kind of man you got here now? Tell the truth. And she start blasting? Honey, that's enough. Sam, that's enough. Oh, listen. We can look like we have patience, but right in our little center at home, you know where the worst place, the best place to find out how short your patience is with your wife or with your husband. Y'all agree with that? You ever had where you wanted your husband to take you to the store? He had something to do? And he's waiting in the car for you. You picture that? He's blowing, well, come on, honey, let's go, I gotta go. But he go pick up Sister Mary. And you're in the car. And Sister Mary gotta get dressed. She not ready? And all he said back, well, praise God. And you're saying, I wonder what Sister Mary doing. Oh, honey, she's coming. Now that's him saying that. After he didn't rush you, she's coming, she'll be all right. She's old, you know. All right. But that's where we can find the center of our patience in the sense of right in our little home area. We can get very short patience with each other. On the other hand, we can require them to have an understanding that they really don't have. Read some of that song for me.
For thy good as thou shalt see.
For thy good, now listen, it said, as thou shalt see. You know you got to stay put to see it? Do you know you and I are going to have to stay put to see the outcome of what my patience really is? For thy good is thou shalt see.
Tempted for a season.
You only tempted for a season. All right, read the next verse.
Be courageous, firm, and true.
Now, here's why we're here today. We're trying to encourage us to be courageous.
Yes.
Be strong about this thing.
Yes. Yes.
Stay firm and true.
When life's battles wage.
When life battles wages, and brother, let me tell you something, it's beginning to wage now. Nothing's happening. Everything's calm. You don't have to exercise much of nothing. Fair weather thing. Huh? You need to get some money, just go down to the bank and get it. Huh? You need to take a trip, just go jump in your car and start it up. Huh? Everything is in place. Fair weather thing. No trial. Get a ticket along the way, just pull over the side of the head. Keep going. Fair weather thing. But when trials hit, fair weather faith is nothing. When the battle really gets hot, fair weather faith is nothing. We got to have something on hand. We got to learn the thought of pray it down. Somebody said, hey, preacher, be careful because we the ones sending your offering to. You talking about faith. Get the point. If everybody would do what they're supposed to do, that God say do, this would be a far better world to live in. And we'll have plenty of faith. But I'm finding out that right through here, that when we expect something to happen on the very day it ought to happen, and it doesn't happen, I'm disappointed. God's trying to work something for our good. Read another verse of that, brother.
It says, oh, be still my soul and rest when the tempest rageth. He who doth our sorrow share.
Oh, be still my soul and rest. Now, what kind of rest is he talking about there? Being able to deal with difficulties without discontent and complaining. Trials of life. The situations that we're in. The circumstances that you are in. Many times somebody said, well, how did I get here? God brought you and I in bringing and still will bring us through difficulties and trying time to get a message to our soul. It's not by accident that you hit the place that you're in. The scripture says, the steps of a good man is ordered of the Lord. And another says, the angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him. For order that comes from heaven, that angel is instructed to watch over you and I. The devil can't come along and tell that angel to get back. Because he got his orders from headquarters. Now, for that angel to move back, the Lord has to send the very order to tell him to move back and let him touch it. An example. You got a hedge around you. Remove the hedge and let me touch him. And I told him to touch him to your face. Let me touch him. He said, spare his soul. He moved back. And he allowed the devil to touch Job. And still Job did not disregard God as being God. That's why the Lord was able. God was able to say, consider my servant Job. There's none like him in all the earth. Patient. Being able to rest in the weary time. Harvey?
He who doth our sorrow share.
He who doth our sorrow share.
In his love and tender care.
In his love and tender care.
Trials more than thou canst bear.
Trials more than thou canst bear. We feel sometimes that I can't bear any more of this. I am actually tired of being going through this. I wish something would happen. Oh, something is trying to happen. If we allow it. Will not let you suffer. But why are you? I'm suffering. No. You think you are. You think you are. You think you are because what's touching you is touching self. And self goes to hollering out. So the fool used to say, if you throw a brick in a pack of dogs, the fur first one holler has been hit. Well, that's obvious, isn't it? The first one holler been hit. Well, many times you and I get into situations that God had just begun to start with us, and we go to holler. Oh, can't take it. Oh, can't take it. That's an indication that there's something on hand that need to be burned up. Need to be burned up. When somebody comes along and says, "Brother, you don't need it."
Well, what do you mean? It's mine.
When you go to defending why you got to have it, you've been hit. Ooh, y'all with me? Come on, man. Come on, folks. They got folks out in the world. I'll be shouting when the old preacher get up and go preach.
That's right.
And we sit down and you get nervous. Get what are you going to say? You've been hit. When we come across something that we can't turn loose and it's hurting my soul and I can't see it, you've been hit. Oh, be still. God is trying to cultivate around us and in us the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to take us through the hard times. See, I don't need nothing or anything that I can't get through the pearly gates of heaven with. Do you know you're talking about a diet? Glory be to God. We're going to have to be slim and trim to go through the gates. We can't take all of this stuff with us. We just be trying to get in, take it all. Do you know if folks can take things to heaven with them, you'll see you all traitors going to the gravesite. As we come through this life like we're going to stay a long time. Somebody say, "Well, why am I always sick and they well?" God said, "This is me. You are a royal jewel to be called upon to suffer." You ever thought about it like that? Oh, Brother Kimmy, you're just trying to encourage us. I sure am. That's what I'm trying to do. For God to call on you to suffer, God, He must feel that you can do it. He must feel that you have enough power to do it. Some folks don't have enough power to suffer, so he can't call on them. So he got to call any man that works with you, and you can have several men, you always call the best one. You work him double time. Why you keep calling on me? Why? Because you, I know I'm going to get it done when I call you. What God's saying? The reason I call you, I know you just trust me enough to let me use you that way. And the reason I call on you to go, because I know you ain't going to complain about you going. You're going to go. I got soldiers under me. I tell one to go, he go. I tell one to come, he come. One to do this, and he do it. And he do not complain. But oh, Israel. I can't find that in Israel. They complaining, why I gotta go? Why you want me to do this? All them other folks over there. But I call upon you because I can trust that you're gonna do it for me. And I don't have to stand over your shoulders and watch you. I call on you because you got patience that you wait on. We expect the bill collectors to have more patience than we got. You owe payment today? No, you got to wait. When you got to wait. I don't have it today. You're going to have to wait. Huh? But we ourselves want it right now. That morning, son. You have any more than something?
Third verse. Why shouldst thou so fearful be?
Yes.
At the tempter's roaring.
All right.
Simply trusting God alone, Satan's wrath ignoring. See God's tenderness and prove.
See God's tenderness and prove.
With the sainted host above.
With the sainted host above.
His unfailing wondrous love.
His unfailing wondrous love. Have God ever failed anybody in here? Can you honestly say God has failed you? Well, why can't we trust a man if he hadn't failed? We trust in something that won't support us and help us a whole lot quicker than something that will. That's something that's been proven over the years that is solid. You know, there are places that God wants to give us more faith in. And how do you expect to get that faith? How do you and I expect to get that faith that God wants to give us? Somebody said the church is going through trying times. And I believe why the church is going through trying times, because it's hard to find enough to trust God, to stand right on His Word. And because of that, yeah, this one's falling over here, and that one doing over here. I believe if we can really put it together and begin to stand firmly on the Word of God, like He said, I believe we'll see a lot more raising up. I've been called crazy. I've been called fanatical. I've been called everything that you can think of. Simply because I want to trust God's word. Simply because I want to prove God and His word. Nothing that makes me look big. No. I'm thinking of, because I want to trust Him for my children. For my grandchildren. I see my sons at home and I've dealt with them and trusted God for them, and they've grown up. Now the baby falls and here he comes. I want to take him to the hospital. And today, I say, you what? Why don't you try prayer? Amen. Yeah, Daddy, but... Then when the doctor can't do anything, here they come. Daddy, will you come? Oh, Dad, get his hat. Yes, son. I'll come. Amen. You go in the little room. You anoint the baby, lay hands, and say, Lord, heal him in the name of Jesus. And that's about all you said. You turn around. But Dad! He'll be all right, son. Go back home, phone ring. Daddy, he all right? I know, son. Just simple faith in God. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. I got saved 21 years ago. I slipped out the hospital just before that. 1965. I went in with a broken jaw, crushed chin, and they let me stay out in the hallway about 4, 5, 6 hours maybe, bleeding at the mouth. Finally, they took me in, tied it up with wire and one thing and another. And they come back one day checking me to say, you need another operation over here. I said, I didn't come in here for that. I slipped out the hospital. They let me go home for that weekend, and I ain't went back. And I moved where I am now, down Kennedy. Got rid of my car. Got rid of everything. And I got me some flyers. And I cut that stuff out of my... I wouldn't say it. I cut that stuff out of my mind. Y'all felt all right. And I went to the saints. I knew the saints. And I said, I want y'all to pray for me. Pray that this old jaw be all right here. And from that time on, I got saved in 1976. I haven't even taken an aspirin or a BC pop. Not for me. I ain't gave my children nothing. Huh? I believe God. I simply just believe God. There have been cases he did not heal. He took them home. Somebody says, cop out. He's supposed to heal them. Who are you to tell God who to heal? And when he should heal? If God healed everybody, can you imagine how old some folks would be? You're like Methuselah around here. Can you imagine? Everybody come, let me just heal them. Heal them, heal them. Look what the old folks have to get out of the way. Let the young folks come in. God is just taking them on where you're living up. Come on, go with me. Praise the Lord. We're going to leave your children coming up after you. Hey, man. And when you see an example that my grandpa, he trusted the Lord. Huh? Or my dad, he stood firm. Or my dad, he loved God. They have something to reminisce on. They have something to go back to. But if grandpa's still living, say, I wish my grandpa would move out the way. God has a way of dealing with this church and with his people. Anybody here can think that where God powered and got short? Can anybody here say that there's something that God cannot do? Scripture said there's nothing too hard for God. Got any more of that?
Yes, dear Lord.
Yes? Uh-oh. Why did he put this at the last verse? Because after you've gone through all the other previous verses, now you got to come to realize, look like the writer got a hold of something. He said, yes, dear Lord, I will be still.
I will trust thee ever.
I will trust thee ever.
I'll submit to all thy will.
Here's our problem. Submitting to what God allows to happen in your life. That's our problem. We'll holler out when somebody touches too close. Many places we need kinfolk grace. And when we rub the wrong way, when somebody let us down, we holler, when somebody disappointed, I thought. That's what's wrong. We think too much. See? I've learned something in learning more in the ministry. When I got saved, 76, the Lord called me in the ministry in 79, and I was down in Florida. Brother Milo had preached a message that night about going to all the world and preach the gospel. And I got scared. I went to the altar, and I never forget, I cried and I prayed. I did not want to do no preaching. So the next morning, he left his Bible locked in the car. I don't know if Brother Hayward remember this now. 79, Brother Hayward, how old were you then?
I was 79.
Maybe you might remember this day. He left his Bible locked up in the car. And he said, whoever got the word of the Lord better get up and preach it in the fear of God, because my Bible is locked in the car. And I was sitting on the front row there with some of the other young brethren, Brother Henry and Brother Alex and some of them. And they were singing the song 140, God is love and never forget it. I wasn't going to move. And I sat there. And they sang that song. And I sat there. And they sang that song. And it was like somebody had lit a torch and put under that seat. I jumped up hollering and turned around and brother said, oh, I really was on fire. Brother Milo said, well, why are you up? Why don't you go ahead and preach to us? I've learned over that period of time till today, I have to get more patience often than you realize. In dealing with situations. In dealing with souls. In dealing with souls that rattle off. And you got to sit here 12 hours almost to hear them talk about the same thing. Because their feelings are this thin. And I can get up and stop and say, wait a minute. We don't have to do this. But I found out in dealing with some folks, let them tell you their heart and you can work with their soul.
Yeah.
You put some gray hairs in your head too. I found out this morning, getting up on Sunday morning, preaching the gospel. I found out what it means. I'm asking the Lord to help me know what it means to stay up all night long. I found out what it means when nobody else has patience. You're going to have patience for that for in
being.
I'm finding out what it means. If they don't have faith, you're going to have faith for them. It comes through experience and troubles and problems and being willing, Lord. Don't know better. So then the Lord began to help me to see you have need of patience after you preach the gospel. You got need of patience that you might get the promise. See? I get up and I'm preaching. Oh, we had a good meeting. Now you're going to have patience after you didn't preach. And everybody can come to the altar one thing and doesn't pray. You're going to have patience that they might get a hold of the Holy Ghost and begin to live this life for God. You ever had anybody got saved on Friday and backslide on Sunday and get saved again on Sunday and backslide on Friday? And, you know, just keep. And if you're not careful, you'll get this. You say, oh, they don't want nothing. And when they come to the altar, coming to pray, they say, oh, there we go again. That's what we'll say. But each time they come, we need to be right in there and praying fervently and asking the Lord, Lord, we want you to save him. Give him something real now. And not to sit back and say, oh, why don't he sit down? Wasting time. What kind of time you got to waste? Anyhow. All the time God didn't waste on us. All the time God has been merciful to us. And we have been skipping, hopping, jumping, running, ducking, dodging, running from, bound by the devil, running from God. And God be saying, child, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. I had an old sister tell me one time before she died. She said, Brother Kimball, you have need to get you some patience that you'll be able to deal with your wife after she gets saved the same way you can deal before she's saved. I didn't get all of it. I said, what do you mean? After she gets saved, she shouldn't be a trial to me. You know, she's a trial now. You know, before she saved. But after she gets saved, she shouldn't be a trial. Amen. That's when the trial really comes, look like. Because you're thinking in your mind now, he ought to know better, or she ought to know better. But she doesn't. She got to learn like everyone else you've been patient with and waiting on. You got to pastor her just like you pastored everybody else. So at home, I got to put on different hats. Today, I'm your husband. Tonight, I'm your pastor. Because of the course of the day, I know you got a lot of things on your mind that you need to get off. Now I'm your pastor. My daughter comes to me for counsel, and she said, I need a pastor today. I need a pastor. See? She said, I don't need a boss. I don't need a dad. I need a pastor. So then I know what to put hat to put on. Now I'm going to give you the word of God. Because you're going to be responsible now. Yes, dear Lord. I will be still. I will trust thee ever. I'll submit to part of your will. No. I will submit to all of thy will. I'm going to cling to you forever. Read on.
Lord, thou knowest what is best.
Lord, now, a lot of folks said, I've left it with the Lord. I don't believe that every time I hear it.
Yes.
A lot of folks say, I wrestle with the Lord, and he's still, when they get up, they got it tailing right behind. What mean the bleeding of the sheep by here? Why are you still complaining? Huh? I've left it with the Lord. A lot of folks don't know how to leave nothing with God. Did you see other people say, I've left it with God. If you left it with God, then you leave it alone. Then you quit touching it. You quit putting your hand to it. I've left it with God. God don't need my hand and your hands on it now. Lord, thou knowest what is best. Confident in this, I'll rest. We mean that? Do we really mean, I want you to hear what you're saying. Because many times, you know, we say yes and we're shaking our heads. But you know, do you really know what you're saying? Lord, thou know what is best. Confident in this our rest. This is 1998. Are we confident that God is going to work out in our life this year what he's trying to, and we are going to let him do it? Think about that. Can you raise your hand to that? Yes, I mean, man. Lord, I want you to work out in my life. I want you to do with me this year that you maybe couldn't do last year. Huh? You scared pretty well? Lord, I want you to burn up everything that you don't like. Sometimes we get afraid, don't we? We people get afraid. Lord, I do the best I can. Confident in this, I'll rest. Till I dwell with all the blessed and with thee in heaven. I haven't quoted you many scriptures at all yet. Just for your thinking and your thoughts, I want to give you a few. In Luke 21 and 19, it says, in your patience, possess ye your soul. Your soul has something to do with this now. By you being patient, it deals with your soul now. I'm getting pretty close, isn't it? In your patience, possess ye your soul. James 1, it says something about letting patience have her perfect work. Let's read from 1 through 4 now.
James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad.
To the 12 tribes scattered abroad.
Greet.
That covers us down through, doesn't it? Yes. Come on, greet.
My brethren. Count it all joy.
Now, who can count it joy when you fall into divers temptation? There's some power that works that you can. There's a learning that if we get this learning, that we can count it joy. We can say the devil is the devil, been the devil, and still is the devil. Always we'll be the devil. Has he got any new tricks? Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation.
Knowing this.
Wait a minute. Did I hear you say right? He said, knowing this?
Yes.
He know this, didn't he? This is something that the reason they were able to count it joy is because as they came out of one trial and entered into another, they knew God was on the scene and they can rejoice because they know the same God that delivered them back there going to deliver them now.
Amen.
The three Hebrew boys come in there, didn't they? And when they said, listen, O king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to deliver us. And if not, if he don't decide he want to do it, somebody said, well, it seemed like he was a little shaky there. No, he wasn't. He was bold right there to tell old king, he's able to deliver us, and if he doesn't, he still goes on to say, I'm not bowing to you, I don't care what he do. That's boldness. Sound like no fear to me. Sound like he was compromising, he was going out in the hall. It sounded like he got bold. We know our God is able to deliver us, and if he doesn't, I ain't taking your medicine no how. Praise be to God. I ain't taking it no way. You can get this job, I don't care. Praise be to God. I'm still gaining weight. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. The devil will make us think we're going to starve to death. Be-
because it's full now. You know you used to having plenty of money in your pocket. You listen, I used to travel and I always told my wife I like to have, I always did like to have $400 or $500 in my pocket, and the Lord shook that thing. One day I traveled $5 in my pocket. $5. It wasn't no $400 or $500. And you gotta spend that wisely. Praise be to God. The Lord knew I was the kind of fella that I didn't like to depend on nobody. I have the money in my pocket, and I go, if you ain't like what I preach, I got my bus and took off. I remember I was in one place and preached a message, and we can be careful. We can get a little baby. You know, you think you are. I'd come over here to preach the gospel to you. So what? See? A big old thing broke out one time while I was in a meeting. And I got scared. And I told my wife, let's get out of here. She wasn't saved. She said, let's get out of here. She said, you can't leave these people. You come in to preach to these folks. Well, I appreciate that woman. And I looked down and I went back in my room and started looking at this Streams in the Desert book. And it said in that book, it said, you stand in the place where I have put you and do the best you can. I couldn't go nowhere then. See, we're getting our mind for something to work right. I got to have it. That's not faith. Our God is able to deliver us, and if not, we're not bowing down to you. I don't care what you do. And notice about the devil. That old king attitude change. Did he get fired up? He got so hot until he said, you heat the fire 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated. And I want you to bound these fellas up and throw them in. Fire was so hot, when he opened the door, the fella that bound them up burned up. Huh? I can see them fellas in my mind getting down to tell me this, brother. Let me walk. And they walk right on in. You'd have to drag them. They walk right on and share that with you. Yeah, man, fire burning, they talking. The old king got concerned, peeping through the window. He said, I threw 3 of them in, and behold, I see a 4th. And he looked like the Son of God. You know how the Son of God looks. And behold, he looks like the Son of God. No, you know what made him realize he was the Son of God? He told him, said, our God is able to deliver us. You know you throw 3 fellas in here. They got 1 more. They sitting down talking, holding a conversation. All the fire did was burn the ropes off their hand. And what really blessed my soul, when he come out, he didn't smell, have the smell of smoke on. How can you be around a fire and don't have the smell of smoke on? Huh? They didn't have the smell. This is encouraging to me. That was boldness. That was standing firm. Elijah, a man of God, on the other hand, had went over there, and God had sent forth power from heaven and lapped up the ditches that he dug and put water in it and smoked and consumed the sacrifice. And Jezebel ran around the corner and said, I'm going to kill you come this evening. And he took off running scared. You see the difference? Fear will cause us not to really trust God. And if you know, in dealing with our society today, the first thing they tell you, God can come in and look at you, they're going to shake their head. And then here come another one. And then here you go. What's the matter? What's the matter? They blew it all out of proportion. Looks terrible. He go to breathe. Looks bad. What do you see? I don't know. It ain't right. Can you see? And then here you all excited, fear. And then you say, take this. And now we go to swallowing stuff, taking this, and let me tell you something. All kind of side effects. Then you go to be treated for this, they're going to treat you for that. Then to treat you for that, they got to treat you for this. You think I want folks treating me for all of these things that I come in here for my toe, and you treat me for my head? Something wrong. Folks, I'm telling you something wrong. See, these brethren said, we're not going to do it. I don't care what you do. Somebody said, well, you're going to die. That's the main thing that the devil tells us. So what? It's to death. It's to glory. Oh,
What are you living for anyhow? We're living to go to heaven. Huh? Ain't no marriage in heaven anyway. I don't want to leave my wife. I'm gone. Getting out of town, Joe. No time to go. Honey, you come on, because ain't no marriage in heaven no way. Yes, Sister Diane. How you doing, Sister Diane? It's a lot of Brother Lewis. Flying up. We're not going to bow down.
Amen.
We don't care how much you... Elijah got scared. And he ran. Just the pride of him running, look what he did. Lord, we want you to come down. And we want you to show these folks who the real God is. God come down and tell them, say, fill the ditches full of water. Fill it full of fun again. Fill it again. Fill it about four times. And he come down. Consumed the sacrifice, lapped up the water. And Elijah got scared because that Jezebel said, we're going to kill you. He took off running. The Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Well, Jezebel says she's going to kill us. They kill all the prophets you can kill, and I'm the only one left. You know that's the way we think. Ain't nobody in nobody shape to you. I got the worst thing going. I got this wrong, that wrong, and this wrong. You know where the problem's at? It's a lack of faith in God. May God help you and I. There's a lack of faith in God. Oh, be still. Thy soul and thine. God wants to bring us to places where you and I can get a hold of something from God that He can inspire our faith.
Yes.
And cause us to really get a hold of the Lord. Romans 12 and 12. Titus 2 and 2. That's what that says.
Rejoicing in hope.
Yes.
Patient in tribulation.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Continuing instant in prayer.
Rejoice in hope. Patience in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. I knew I'd give you another scripture with that chart. We won't need that one. Let's see. And yeah, it goes on to say, the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. And I like to use the word again, sound in charity and sound in patience.
You want the last part of the scripture there in James?
Yes.
It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
The trying of your faith. Work at patience.
But let patience have her perfect work.
But let patience have her perfect work.
That ye may be perfect and entire.
That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I trust this morning that these few thoughts would help us to realize where we are with God. And I want to say again, the altar is open for you and for me. To increase ourselves along the patient line, being able to wait on God, being able to ask God to help us to increase our faith. Is there any need this morning? I believe you may feel that I don't need it this morning, but I guarantee you're going to need it down the line. In dealing with God, in dealing with His subjects, in dealing with the things He has for us to deal with, I'm finding that we got to pray harder.
Yes.
We got to seek the mind and the face of God daily. We're going to have to be faithful in asking God to bless us and to teach us. This is more than just coming together as a group of people and worshiping together and say amen, raising our hand. But when you go back to your place where you really live, then we're going to be tried. I desire your prayers.